And we're joined now by CESNOC MP Clayton Barr. Now, just recently he made a stand in Parliament during a discussion on palliative care. It is a very important issue. Clayton Barr, do you see the need for changes to existing levels of service in our region?
Good morning, Jane. Look, palliative care, dying, mortality, the way we're going to deal with those things is something we absolutely have to talk about. It's one of the few certainties in life, as difficult as it is. It is a certainty, and we need to be talking about it. At the moment, we seem to have an approach that is very sterile. It is very, let's not talk about it. It is very hospital, primary healthcare sort of driven. We need to talk about it because there are other ways that people can die.
So there's not enough done for palliative care, do you think, or is it just that we all need to be more aware?
I don't think that there's enough done by way of palliative care, not in terms of how much money is invested into it, but in terms of how much choice people are given about the way that they want to die. Remembering palliative care is a situation where people have been given a diagnosis where there's no medical intervention available. There's no treatment that can stop you from dying. So it's actually about, okay, from this point forward until your death, what do you want that to look like? That's where we don't do enough of a conversation and offering up choices to people. We think that just putting them in hospital and relieving their pain until they pass away peacefully is the absolute solution. For many, many people and many cultures and many families, that's a choice. That's not a choice that they want to make. They'd rather do it in a different way.
So have you had a look at other cultures and just how, or perhaps found some interest, some good points that we could take on?
Oh, absolutely. There are most cultures in the world have a way of dealing with this in the home. There are indeed quite a number of cultures where once a person has died, that they lay, that they're done up by the family, they're made to look very beautiful, they're put in the family bed peacefully and restfully, and that family and friends, after the death, can come and visit and see that person, touch that person, give that person a final kiss, goodbye, whatever the case is, before that person goes off to be either cremated or buried or whatever the choice is down the track there as well. And that's in a lot of Western cultures, Western civilizations. So we need not be afraid of that, but we do need to have a conversation about what resources are needed for that. For example, if you were going to choose to die in your own home, well, you're going to need a nurse to come out and see you on a fairly regular basis to make sure your medications are okay, to make sure that you don't have any other, you know, illnesses and conditions that can be treated, to make your remaining time more peaceful and healthier. Yeah. We actually just have to have the conversation.
So it is a question of looking at where we could best use resources in making this, well, you can't say pleasurable, but making it easier, I suppose.
No, it's not pleasurable. It's very difficult. I used to work in the cancer industry and unfortunately I've assisted. When I say assisted, I've tried to make respectful and the death or the dying days of a number of families across our region.
Yes.
There is nothing, but it can be done. And just to give you this one, and I don't want any of the listeners to think I'm just, you know, crude and crass about the finances, but just to give you this one figure, it is my understanding that per night in hospital, a bed in our public health system costs about $1,200. Think about if you allocated a nurse who would probably earn $1,200 in a whole week. Think about how many nurses you could have out there moving around to different people's homes if people chose to die at home. You could have so many more resources invested in nurses being out in the community instead of a hospital bed on the floor of a hospital wing, which isn't the choice of a lot of people. And it's not, you know, hospitals aren't things that people want to be in generally.
No, that's very true. Now, dying with dignity is probably the way we speak about euthanasia, and that's come up
Indeed. Over
the years, and nobody really comes to grips with it anymore.
Look, the scare campaign that has been around euthanasia has been very successful for those people who are trying to launch a scare campaign about that, and that's unfortunate. There would be tens of thousands of listeners out in the Hunter region listening to your program right now who have helped, held and nursed a loved one to their death. And in those last couple of days, in those last couple of weeks, there is nothing noble or graceful about the condition of those people that we keep alive. And, you know, when people decide that they've had enough, that they don't have a treatment option available to them, we have to be able to have a conversation with them. And as the old saying goes, and we don't do it to animals. So when we see animals suffering beyond repair, unable to be helped, we actually assist them to their death in a painless and graceful way. But for some reason, we don't do that with human life.
Well, we do need to have that conversation. You're absolutely right, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Jane. Cheerio.
Clayton Barr, Cessnock MP, and it is certainly a big topic.